It's time now to talk with Marcia Hyatt. This is the Best of Ourselves segment. Marcia, good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
How are things?
Well, it was, you know, some weeks are really incredible and some weeks are more of a flat line. I had more of a flat line week. I noticed that I was, just kind of not feeling really happy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, it might be a good time to get back into that positivity work that I was talking about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This is the work of Barbara Fredrickson. And she is a psychologist who's been, social psychologist, who's been studying positive emotions and the incredible impact of positive emotions, not generating them, paying attention to them, increasing the ratio of them to negative, it has an amazing impact. It basically allows us to show up as our best selves. Mm-hmm. It gives us more resilience. We're more fun to be around, and we actually produce more. We're more productive as well. So, and physically healthier. Did I mention that? So it's good stuff. And here I am midweek, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm not even sure what my trigger was. But I decided to go back online. She's got a test, positivityratio.com. And on there, there's several tools. I'll talk about another one in a minute. But this is just a way to kind of take your pulse. You know, how are you doing? And 3-1 is tipping point to the good side, right? Between 3-1 and 13-1 is good. 13-1 is then you're in denial.
Obnoxious.
It's not real. Let's get real. I've taken this before, and I've been 2-1, which is below the tipping point, and that is where 80% of us land. 80% of us. Look at the opportunity gap we've got here.
Yeah.
One time I got 9-1. That was a really good day. And then I took it midweek this last week, and I got 1-1.
Ooh.
Which, if it continues, means I'm clinically depressed. So. I'm not concerned about that at the moment, but if I did get 1-1 for a couple of weeks, then you probably I should or someone should seek help. However, for me, I think, okay, that's data. I need to learn a little bit more, because when I talked about the positivity research, the research on positive emotions a few weeks ago, I didn't really talk about what you actually do. What we know is you're not faking it. You don't pretend, because that actually has negative physiological impact on you. It doesn't work. But it's more about savoring, noticing, consciously filling yourself with the positive emotions. Because basically the thought is, and if you really pay attention, they're there. They're already there. And so what is it that cultivates? And here's the 10. This is like the magic 10. She said in her research, these 10 emotions are the ones that have the most impact on you in every which way: mental health and productivity, etc. Joy, serenity, hope, gratitude, interest, pride, amusement, awe, inspiration, and love.
Wow.
You know, there's going to be some of those in my day. Now, she defines them, I'll just go with the title of those, but she defines them all and talks about what you can do. But let's just talk a little about the things you can do to understand. Now, the first thing is about those 10, it's going to be unique for you and me, right? Different things are going to cultivate joy in you, or interest in you, or inspiration in you, and different things for me. So one of the best things we can do for ourselves is just to become a little bit more aware of our emotional patterns and what cultivates the positive feelings in us. And probably just as importantly, what takes us on the negative spiral. So that will be different. What makes me happy? What cultivates amusement. So there's two different ways you can become more aware. One is what I mentioned just a little bit ago, is she has a test, positivityratio.com. It's on the internet, positivityratio.com. It's also in her book, and she says duplicate it, take it, use it. So if you know anybody that has the book, get them to copy it for you. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple to score, and you just look at your negative to positive emotion ratio. But the other thing that's, I think, is pretty exciting, and I haven't done it yet. I just read about this, but I'm going to do it, which is day reconstruction method. It's actually a scientific method that's been written up in scientific journals. But basically, it helps you tune into your emotional life, to really think about your life. So what you do is you reconstruct a day in episodes. So, for example, this morning, my first episode was getting up and taking the dogs out, first thing. Second episode is journaling with my cup of tea. Third episode is sitting at my computer preparing for this radio show. So you think about the episodes. It could be, you know, really granular, or it could be 10 in a whole day. But then you notice and think about your emotion for each of those episodes. Again, this is described in great detail, both in her book, Positivity, and on her website.
So is this something you do at night to reconstruct the day past, or are you doing it ongoing?
Either way. Okay. Either way. It's much easier, of course, if you do it a couple times during the day.
Right.
And then go back to it and look at, you know, what was the stuff that really filled me, whether it's stuff that were life-giving, positive, again, those 10, serenity, hope, gratitude, interest, love, pride, whatever. Where were the moments I had that, and where were the moments I had the negative? And then you can just do a real quick tally, you know, on how I'm doing. But most important, it helps you understand what's life-giving for you, what juices you. I mean, walking my dogs is such a gift. My dogs are one of my sources of amusement and interest because I laugh a lot with my dogs. And when I'm walking my dogs and they make me get outside, I notice the air and I notice the birds and I notice what's flowering. And so that becomes more clear. So then you think, okay, if that's what feeds me, if that's what's life-giving and that's what's interests me or whatever, then how do I do a bit more of that? So for me, when I was at my flatline midweek, I thought, well, what do I know about what feeds me? And for me, it's many things, being out in nature, of course, but creative, doing something creative really animates me. And I had to do a design of a leadership course. Now, that may not sound like fun to everybody, but remember, it's unique. And for me, design is creative. And so I thought, okay, I want to block some time and give myself the gift of that time just to really play in the creative juices. And truly, I was, if you had a little positive meter on me, you would, would have gone up. Right. So the second, so that's one. So find ways to get more in tune with what feeds you, what's positive now. And that allows you then to be a little bit more about consciously making some choices that feed yourself, but also consciously making choices about what pulls you down. Mm. Are there, gossip at the workstation, you know, work, then, you know, how do I step away from that and not let that touch me? Okay, so the second thing that she has, and she's got many, many items in her toolkit, but I just picked some of the top ones. Be open. Yeah, okay, right. That means basically be present. It means be curious and accepting about what's happening right now.
What's really happening.
What's really happening right now. So for example, it's just so easy. Like my drive in here from my home to the radio station, it's just so easy to be thinking, okay, what am I going to say? And what I have to do next? And what I have to do while I'm in town? As opposed to just being present and looking out the window with this incredible beauty that we are blessed with. Or just noticing and breathing deeply. Walking the dogs, of course, I've always had that option. And I'm often have to stop myself from planning or remembering or all that other stuff that keeps me from being present and then being curious and accepting about what I am noticing as well. Even when I was reading this, I thought, you know, even cooking, if I'm really present when I'm cooking or cleaning, not my favorite thing, it changes the quality of the experience.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. So practicing that. And CJ, you and I have talked about presence, being present a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
It's hard.
And I know you've had some experiments with this as well. Like, what helps you show up in a way at that moment in time? How do you remind yourself to do that? For me, you're shaking your head. You know, for me, I have to think about certain, like when I walk the dogs now, that is the place where I use that as a ritual to bring myself back. I have to say, it's not like I'm permanently there. I flitter off into my planning and then I'm here. Come back to here. Okay. So that's one. The second third one actually, because it's the track your own self, get aware of your own emotional repertoire, be open, be present, connect meaningfully. It's interesting. High quality interactions are life-giving. I mean, and literally, I mean, high quality interactions. We are wired for connection. And so being present, affirming others, seeking out those that you can be, you know, unguarded with and really have meaningful conversations. But it also could be just how you interact with people in the grocery store. You know, I am very guilty of, okay, I've got my list, I've got this time, I don't have time to like even look at you in the eye and talk. And that actually is not fun for anybody, you know, me or them. So just reaching out. And what I did this week was I thought, you know, I just need some good friend time. Reached out to a couple friends by phone or in person and just got some time.
Connection.
Meaningful connection. The fourth one in the again, this many long list that she's got, but this is all connected and shown to pay back, which is be kind. Mm. Be kind. For example, set a goal to do 5 acts of kindness today or tomorrow or once a week or whatever. A kindness that takes a little bit, not just, gosh, what a great outfit, you know, mm-hmm. or a compliment, but something like helping a neighbor with yard work or donating blood or thinking about a friend who's really health problems or struggling. And what's the thing could you do, you know, take food to them or, you know, what could you do? Being more conscious of how to pay it forward, basically, because that is it. Can be quite selfish in a way, because it really fills you with a sense mm-hmm. of well-being as mm-hmm. well. There's a wonderful quote from Goethe, who is the happiest of men or women? I'll edit that. He or she who values the merits of others and in their pleasure takes joy, even as though it were our own. So how do we sort of be present with other people, support other people? So know ourselves a little better, work on being present, connect with meaningful relationships, and even if connecting even in any interaction where you're really, you know, the difference with the person that they're making eye contact, they just basically stop mm-hmm. and really respect and understand what's coming out of your mouth as if it's important. And that's
bless them.
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. And then consciously practice acts of kindness. Yeah. All of those are things that can sort of build up those 10 positive emotions. But I want to say a couple things that I think are really important. This is the irony. I'm saying, you know, get more aware of your own positivity. But if you overanalyze positivity, you kill it. Ugh. It's fragile. So we're just trying to understand it. We're just trying to consciously cultivate it. And it's not, I honestly used to think this was a selfish thing to do. To take care of myself, to feed myself, my soul. I thought, well, that's nice, but I got work to do. I've got people to take care of. I got meals to prepare. And yet, the discovery of joy, serenity, inspiration that's within my reach actually increases my ability to do quality work. It increases my ability to show up as a support for the people mm-hmm. in my life that I intend to do. Mm-hmm. So it's radical. It is not selfish. It is a way to help the whole world, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
So let me close with a quote by Joseph Campbell that has been really helpful to me, particularly in times of sorrow. Participate joyfully in the sorrows of the world. We cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy.